coming in to nail the landing for the final episode of Season 2. This is the Bennett Brothers Podcast for The Mandalorian, Season 2, Chapter 16, Episode 8, The Rescue. And I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel Bennett. We're here at the end. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the thing that everyone wants to talk about, but no one wants to spoil, so we're going to spoil it. We're going to spoil the rescue, and we're going to talk about all the stuff we liked about it and things we didn't like about it. So hopefully you have watched the episode and you're joining us. And if you have any ideas and thoughts, we would love to hear them. But this is exciting for us to talk about. We've made it through Season 2. We'll recap Season 2 a little bit as well, just at the end, if we liked it or not.
We clearly
But you've come
it.
Here for the hard-nose-hitting stuff that you expect. Like, for instance, every episode this season started with the word "the." Last season, two episodes didn't have the word "the." They were just one redemption.
I think that's enough information for the
podcast.
I know,
that's what you're expecting from this podcast.
Good night, everybody! Take care!
But Chapter 15, The Rescue, so it's been
Chapter 16.
Is it Chapter 16?
Eight episodes.
Sure is, yeah. Well, it's just...
He had one job.
It feels like a continuation of everything. Chapter 1.
Once it was the best time. Of times. It was the blurst of times.
The blurst of times.
Thank you, Simpsons.
Excellent.
No, we're not going to do any news this week because we did it all last week. There's nothing new except for what we'll talk about at the very end.
Yes.
Joel, what are your thoughts on The Rescue? Initial thoughts.
My initial thoughts. This was a good episode for the season.
Made great
by the end. That's the way I look at this. I think there were overall better episodes this season, but obviously the ending to this episode is up there in the Star Wars canon of greatest moments in Star Wars history. For right now, maybe that might change like 10 years from, like 5 years from now, and I'm like,
I think you said the same thing about The Last Jedi, if I recall.
Yeah, let's go listen to that podcast, see how much I love that movie.
I think you said that with Solo and Rise of the Skywalker and The Phantom Menace.
I did say that with Rise of Skywalker, though. I liked Rise of Skywalker. I know a lot of people don't like that movie in hindsight, and it's really sloppy, and it's got problems. But anyways, we're not talking about the Rise of Skywalker. We're talking about Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau's baby, The Mandalorian, which is produced and created and written by people who love Star Wars, who cherish it.
Bill Burr doesn't love Star Wars and cherish it, but he did a good job.
He changed his mind. I've listened to that.
the check came out. He's like, I'm changing my mind. That's a lot of zeros.
No, he did. He did change his mind, though. He's since come out. Then he's like, yeah, they changed my mind on the whole thing. So that's great. What did you think?
It's a great episode. Was it the best? I don't know. This whole season is one long story. And aside from the weakest episode was the second one with the frog lady and the spiders. And that was a great episode.
The passenger, yep.
Now, actually, I bring that up because it's the same director who did that episode, did this one, Peyton Reed, who also directed Ant-Man and Ant-Man and the Wasp. So it doesn't really show you that the director just works with whatever material that you've got from the writers and the creators and everything. But yeah, I thought this was a great episode. Has phenomenal moments in it. You know, it's hard to... I don't know. I mean, is it the best episode of the season? It's got some great, great moments, but we already have been spoiled with Ahsoka and obviously Boba Fett and everything. So I don't know. It just was phenomenal. Nothing to take away from it.
Yes, I would agree with that too. And I think as a season finale, it definitely takes in elements from the season and it brings them in and
moves the
story forward, ties it up in a nice little bowl for the season, continues the story moving forward because we do have questions about what's going on. For instance, they have the recap on Disney Plus, and in the recap, they show those biopods. What's up with those? We never got any answer to that, and so we'll probably find out more about that next season. Is that the things they're growing to give the midichlorians from Grogu to? Who knows? But that's, you know, those are
they
things
also
that
showed
are,
the Mandalorian making a speech to Moff Gideon. Why did he do that? I have no idea. I thought they would resolve that. He gave this information so that he would throw Gideon off. But in reality, I don't know why he did that other than just he was trying to say, I don't like you and I'm going to scare you.
As a badass. It was funny. After watching that, though, I went, there was a slight part of me was like, because he refers to you have something. And instead of like, you have an individual or you have a person or something. It, like when he says something, it's like, could he be referring to the Darksaber? Like there's, I knew he wasn't, but they could have pulled that rug out and been like, that Darksaber means a lot to him. And we just haven't known.
Come on.
I know. I'm just saying it felt like they set it up that way just to kind of, just if, maybe, maybe.
So let's talk about the opening scene before the title.
Yeah, we're on the Razor Crest. And so the Razor Crest is pursuing.
No, keep going.
This is actually, I wrote this down, the Razor Crest, because during the recap, they show the Razor Crest exploding.
Yeah.
Not really relevant to
well,
the.
Well, it's relevant, and you go, why? Where's the ship at? You know, I guess.
But that was.
You know what, recaps? What are you getting? Who controls the recaps?
That was two episodes ago. So it's a weird recap to have two episodes later after you've already had the ship removed. It was one of those things that like, oh yeah, I forgot
I
the Razor Crest is destroyed. Why are they bringing this up? That's okay, though. I mean, again, they might deal with that next.
Cause the first 20 minutes of our podcast will be about the recap, people, so if you want to jump ahead.
Well, no, it's interesting that they put it in there because there was a lot of stuff that seemed poignant to what was going on. All right, so we start the episode. We're on Slave 1, and it's pursuing an Imperial shuttle that has Dr. Pershing.
Lambda class
shuttle with Dr. Pershing on there, who we've seen since season one, and in two pilots, and you recognize the pilots right away, right, Jerry?
Well, I came to the conclusion recently that when we were doing our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, everyone on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had previously appeared apparently on Sons of Anarchy, as you pointed out repeatedly. And now I've come to the conclusion that everybody on The Mandalorian has appeared on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because that's how it works now.
Yeah,
there's
I'm
dozens of people
more.
Who are now from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that are now on this show, including the two pilots, the one that I had to go like, why do I know his voice? It's because it was
Malik.
Not Gideon Malik, but the other Malik brother.
Terrence
from
Malik?
Sure, why not? No, it was the villain from the final season of S.H.I.E.L.D. and he was in there for a short period of time. I almost wanted to do a freeze frame though when he gets blasted in the face. Like, how much did they actually show? Because it's like, is there like a shot of him with a hole in his head? I don't know.
Well, the other pilot was actually one of the Konamicons. So
yes.
More S.H.I.E.L.D. people in there. Jerry, question. How do they know where to find the shuttle?
Answer. He found it out in that scanning machine last week.
Okay. Well, that's good. I like that answer. Because I'm sitting there going, they did a whole episode trying to pinpoint where the light cruiser is.
Well, and they did the that scanning episode, thing. Just... He got all that information. We
okay,
assume
that's
it.
Good.
And then he's got Boba Fett and the Mandalorian together. And as we know, all Mandalorians are bounty hunters, so that's how that worked out.
Okay. I love that the one pilot shoots the other pilot here when he's sort of betraying him. He's like,
well,
I don't believe this.
Go back to your recap. In the recap, we show the one Imperial officer played by Titus Wheeling, whatever, he committed suicide before getting information to show his devotion to the Empire. Although this one pilot clearly wasn't as devoted as the other one.
No, but it's interesting. The pilot who kills the other pilot, we'll call him pilot and co-pilot, the co-pilot kills the pilot. The co-pilot has, he was on the Death Star when Alderaan was destroyed because Cara Dune comes on. She talks
it was
about
an information dump for him, telling us who this doctor is and how he's important and all of that.
And so he saw Alderaan destroyed, and then he was like, you've murdered millions.
My cousin was a plumber on the Death Star.
There it is. That's the clerks. Yes. The clerks bed. There was a lot of contractors on that second Death Star because it was still being worked on. I'm going to say that those contractors were given vacation because they were going to activate the Death Star and they didn't want to have military people who weren't military people on the Death Star too. So that's how you could avoid having good people killed. No,
we will trip
maybe.
Our efforts, Lord Vader, for the Emperor's arrival. We will have all these people working harder. A slave labor.
And they're all dead.
Hey, man, if you believe all those people were pirates last week that Din was killing, got some oceanfront property in Missouri to sell.
Missouri? So, and then, he gets shot in the face here, which is a nice little scene.
We find out about the Alderaan tattoo on her teardrop tattoo. So we get the title music, when we get the final thing, and the music is just swelling here. It's just awesome.
That's not the title. They didn't use that music for this, but that's what I'm used to. The bum bum. It's great. See how I did that? It's perfect.
Are you doing like something from Cool and the Gang?
Bum bum.
Bum 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 bum.
All right. So we head to a planet. I do not have the name of this planet.
But we see Bo-Katan's ship from the animated series there.
Yes. We got a great shot when they walk into the cantina.
Great shot.
With your Din's head and then Boba's head right behind it. It's awesome.
I want to watch a show called Star Wars. The helmets.
The helmets.
Just people in helmets.
That's the opening logo.
Exactly.
Now. It's just helmets. They find Bo-Katan there, and they find Casca. But no Axe Wolves.
He was in the bathroom.
He was in the bathroom. They leave him.
He goes
there.
Back. I was like, son
hey
of a bitch.
Guys, where'd you go? Oh, man. It must be a pain in the butt to go to the bathroom in those outfits. Yeah, so he's not in this episode, but we do get Casca. She has beef with Boba.
Well, this was an opportunity to see Mandalorians deal with Boba Fett mm-hmm. and just get that on the table. Like, okay, he's not a Mandalorian. Even though last episode he's basically saying, hey, I'm a Mandalorian. He kind of shows it, or not two episodes ago. He's like, this is my father. Here's my DNA chain or whatever. So he says he's a Mandalorian in that one. And then in this one, he doesn't say he's a Mandalorian. Very similar to how Bo-Katan in one episode goes, you're one of those religious zealots who won't take your helmet off. Why are you like that? And then in this episode, she's like, I can't accept that sword because I have to go through this long process. It's like, well, wait a minute. You ripped on this guy over here for one thing. Make up your mind.
Speaking of Bo, she has a great moment here when she confronts Boba Fett for being a clone. She's like, I've heard that voice thousands of times. I thought that was awesome.
This is my father's armor. Don't you mean your donor? That's like, yeah, oh, that's hey, great. Princess. Oh, it's good stuff. Good stuff.
And then they have a little wrestle here, a little fight. A wrestle, because she's the actress, wrestling is a wrestler. Move, yeah. They have a great use of the jetpack here to do the, mm-hmm. Tilt-a-whirl, Huracana, whatever it is.
Yes, that's it. I think you named it.
Actually, it has a name to it. DDT, I think it is. But I thought it was a great use of the jetpack. Fun little behind-the-scenes fact here. Katie Sackhoff actually brought her dad to the set because he's a huge Star Wars fan.
Mm-hmm. I saw the picture.
I thought that was really sweet. It's like a really emotional thing because she got into sci-fi because of her dad. And obviously she was part of Battlestar Galactica and she's done some other sci-fi things. But to be a part of Star Wars is huge. The fact that she got to bring her dad to that. Jerry, if I ever do Star Wars, I'll think about bringing you to set.
Excellent.
So, and then we get an exposition dump here. Not a dump, but it's a nice exposition point where they're like, I'm after the Darksaber. It can cut through anything.
Well,
but not pure Beskar, wink, wink, nod, nod, remember that for later.
What's that voice?
I don't know. It seems so like they had to remind us.
That's fine. There's so much cool stuff in here.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, Joel, I want you to go through the entire board over their head to explain everything that's written there and all the different meals. I'm kidding. I don't want to know anything.
There's a vegetable meal.
I know. There's websites that go through all that stuff, and it's this is not the podcast.
No, it is not.
Goodbye,
unless it's relevant, then we'll bring it up.
So let's get into Slave One, where all our heroes are now together with the Doctor, going over the plan. And Joel, this doctor, let's get it out of the way right now. What is the motivation? Is this doctor working reluctantly for the Empire? What is, because he has no problem betraying it. He was okay last season where he didn't want the child killed. What's his motive?
Is he
what's
like a Galen Erso who's only doing it because they're forced to?
I'm asking you.
So it's interesting. I wrote that down. He helps out the team. He gives them information about the Dark Troopers, and he gives it in the information that the Dark Troopers are all droids and there's not people in the suits, which was great. I don't know why we never brought that up, because that's always been the case, is the Dark Troopers are actually individuals in those outfits. I chalk some of this up to that he is in it for the science and he's not in it for the Imperials. He also just had an Imperial put a gun to his head. So
yeah.
That gives him a little bit of what his worth is to the imps, as they are called.
I'm guessing with the show being so well done as it is, we will get an answer to that at some point. I'm assuming at some point we'll get an answer to Grogu's heritage, unless they decide to skip over that, because that's still hanging out at the end of this. But
this is the last we see of the Doctor. So
that my question is where is he? Now, you were asking about what happened to the other Mandalorian. Maybe he stays with him on Bo-Katan's ship, because there was three ships sitting out there, Slave One, Bo-Katan's ship, and the Lambda Shuttle. And we don't see Bo-Katan's ship again, so possibly the Doctor
could be on Slave One as well.
He could be, but we don't see that yet. Maybe he's in a piece of frozen carbonite.
Yeah, he's carbonite.
He's like, no, shit.
No, nice. They develop a plan. to how they're going to get in there. They're going to be distractions so he can do what he needs to do. We have a great little shot here where they're in hyperspace where we get to see Slave One following the Lambda shuttle. I just thought it looked pretty cool. Well done. On the Imperial shuttle, we have a moment here which is going to be important later on, maybe even in season three, where Bo-Katan, she's like, I want Gideon. Gideon's mine. I get to take down Gideon. And after watching the episode, watching it again, it's very apparent why she's doing all this.
Yeah, and obviously we have the conflict, the fact that saying Kara wants him for her, the New Republic. So now we have conflict in there. Mandalorian has, I don't care, take it. I just want the kid. So we're given our main setup of one person wants him for some reason, one wants him alive, and one doesn't really care. So there we go. Boba Fett makes one little comment, but he also is like, good luck in there. Take care. And we're gonna do this process. So when we come out of hyperspace and hold on.
It's not just good luck in there. This is the writers going, we really can't have Boba Fett a part of this for later, because that's gonna be a big issue. That's gonna be something that we'll have to write and make sure we correct.
I think we'll hear more about that next December.
Yes. So Boba is conveniently not going on to the Imperial Light Cruiser. Speaking of which, we're on the Light Cruiser. We have the comms officer who we've seen throughout the season. She answers the distress call from the Lambda shuttle. The Lambda shuttle is like, they're like, screw it, we're going to dock. Apparently the docking is on the front of this ship, which was interesting to see.
Now Moff Gideon, who is there, who is listening, clearly knows what Bo-Katan's voice sounds like. So he knows that's Bo-Katan coming in. Because he can hear her voice.
And he only heard her voice in the helmet, though?
Well, he's also took the Darksaber from her. So they have a history. So
but
clearly,
has he only heard her voice inside the helmet? Because she's not inside the helmet at this point.
I don't know. I just have a feeling.
And how long has it been since he's heard her voice?
Why do you think he lets that shuttlecraft do that?
Because that shuttlecraft was carrying the doctor.
That's what he assumed. Okay. I wrote down here that they should have announced that they had the doctor. Because that would have made me feel more confident about why. Because right now it makes Moff Gideon look not as efficient.
I agree with
that. It makes him look like he made a mistake.
But that's okay, because that's the Imperial's MO throughout.
Yes, but they could have put a piece of dialogue in. He's like, we've got the doctor with us. You know, if they just said that line of dialogue, I would have felt like a little better about that sequence.
But I'm serious. Like, outside of General Veers, there's not a single Imperial person in Star Wars that I can think of who didn't make a mistake somehow.
General Nida?
No, he ends up dying because
they
of,
all die.
Yeah. Well, Veers, we don't know what actually happens to Veers, but he's one of the ones who is extremely successful. Based on the new canon. I don't know, like, there's legends of
Veers. Wait a minute, Veers, you're talking about...
We'll have the shields down in a moment. Prepare your landing.
He died in a deleted scene.
Well, that doesn't count. That's not canon.
Okay. But he did. That's what I read that just in the last year. He read.
Well, that's interesting that they shot a scene with that. But
I don't know if they shot it, but he was.
That is not canon. I do not believe it. So they have the moment here where the ship lands. It just gets its wings up before it bounces in. I like this.
He actually
this
died in the AT-AT. Seriously, he actually supposedly died in the deleted scene. The AT-AT got destroyed.
Well, great, but I mean, again, he's not dead. I think they can utilize him.
You know who the actor is who played that, right? By the way,
that is the guy who played in the Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yes, and
He was just in something a little more recently.
Game of Thrones,
yeah.
He's the priest, or whatever that. What I can't remember. All my Game of Thrones now just gone. All of the words are gone. Oh, there you go.
The thing that was most important to us for many years
now it's
is
gone.
Just gone.
He's dragon person with chain door.
So they land the ship. I like to see the inner workings of the TIE fighter, where the guy's like, "Stop the TIE fighter!" Like I like that. It's reminiscent of
Battlestar Galactica.
Force Gundam. Awakens, and Battlestar Galactica and Gundam. And then they come out, and we get the badass women of Star Wars coming out and doing their thing, which they're going to do throughout this episode.
And you got Slave One buzzing around until it takes off. I think initially I was like, "Why isn't it blasting the ship?" But then I realized, hey, at the end of this episode, the ship is going to be part of the New Republic's property. So, like, maybe don't blast it too much.
Luckily, we have a nice little moment here where we find out they're going to activate the Dark Troopers.
The music here
was
so cool.
But they take a while. Luckily, thanks. I know they mentioned that earlier in the cantina, how they have some time to actually shut them down. They have to have the pipes, like, break off of them.
Now, when you activate them, is there an easy way on the bridge where you activate them that you can actually deactivate them?
They have to the droid's like, oh, sorry, and they pick up their little hoses and they hook them back up.
They couldn't pull together a nice little Phantom Menace of, you know, shut it all down?
Yeah, right? That would have been nice. Destroy the...
Could have been a line of dialogue that Moff Gideon had said so they can't shut it down, as my point. These are minor nitpicks. I just like another piece of dialogue answers those questions.
Is that a droid control ship somewhere that is taking care of them? No, I'm fine with that, because outside of the Clone Wars, we've never seen any droids have a manual shutdown for all the droids somewhere.
That's what Phantom Menace was built around.
I know, but I'm saying that was the only example of
that's
that.
That's a pretty big example.
Yeah, but then it's also an old example that they've since probably weaned out of the system. They don't have to do that kind of stuff anymore. Maybe they have other ways where it's just a voice command for Gideon to say, stand down.
Okay.
These dark troopers obviously have the ability to think on their own, too, because they realize the threat later on, and they stop going after into the bridge. So they have the ability, they're cognizant in some sort of way.
Yeah. Now, here's an ironic part. We talked about this, is in Attack of the Clones, when all those clones are running around, and in Revenge of the Sith, they never made any of the armor. The armor wasn't made, it was all computer-generated. But in this, I just found out, every one of those droids, they actually built those real.
Really?
No, I'm totally lying.
Well, I was going to ask that question. I was going to ask.
Come on, man! I thought you.
No. I was going to ask that question later on. When we get to it, I'm going to ask the question.
They made them make an arm or two, but yeah, I mean, they look incredible, but no, they're not real.
So as the squad is advancing, we get a nice little shot here of one of the stormtroopers getting hit and then falling through the shield, which is important for later to show that, you know, you can fall through the shield, but you can also come back through the shield.
It's just ray shields.
Yeah, it's just a little foreshadowing. I thought that was nice.
By the way, let's go back to what Jerry said how many episodes ago. You're going to have a droid army. You know why you're going to have a droid army? Because there's going to be a lightsaber coming at those droids.
Yeah, but there's plenty of violence.
I know, yes, but... And then when Ahsoka happened, and they didn't really do that, aside from a few droids, it was kind of like, oh, I guess you don't have to do it. But I'm just saying I was completely right, because there's one thing about cutting up a bunch of people or shooting a bunch of stormtroopers in this incredible fight where they fight the stormtroopers, and Fennec Shen is actually doing some incredible martial arts with the stormtroopers. All that's great.
Yeah, and she has a great moment where she dodges the
blast.
But
if you're going to have a guy with a blade cutting through dozens of stormtroopers, it's a little grisly versus going through robots. I'm telling you that it was well done, but it was also, I called it from the beginning. I'm like, there's a reason you have
these
droids.
I don't think they did it for that reason, though.
I think they did.
I know. Absolutely. No, they did it because I think they did it because they needed to have a greater threat. We just saw our whole team go through stormtroopers, no problem.
I promise you.
The Clone Wars, when they show the Revenge of the Sith, when they have those one droids and they have the things on them, those are the droids that end up fighting the Jedi and things like that, because you need to have something comparable to fight the Jedi. Otherwise, there's Superman running around and you can't do anything because regular humans can't stop them.
Season 1, Episode 8, Moff Gideon is surrounded by Death Troopers, who were told and are shown that are the incredible elite stormtroopers. If we weren't going to have a Jedi at the end of this episode, you would have had an elite group of Death Troopers that our heroes could fight, and they would have had a much harder time than going through regular stormtroopers.
But they've beaten Death Troopers.
And so they made that decision. We'll find out. I will be shocked if the series that's premiering in a week, which is the behind the scenes of Mandalorian Season 2, doesn't have somebody at some point say, hey man, you got a lightsaber going through people, you got to have a robot. The entire first trilogy is built around that entire concept.
Okay, well, we'll continue having that conversation, because I'm going to disagree. We get a moment here where Cara Dune's gun jams. I'm actually acceptable of this, even though it's a plasma rifle. You're like, oh, it's a plasma rifle.
You know why they did it? So she could swing it around and be really cool.
Yeah, but it's fun. But they actually showed us in the previous episode a gun jamming. So it's not like this came out of nowhere with guns jamming. So I like that. Like, that was a good setup for this episode.
I like when we see the Death Star droid walking right beforehand
An
there.
RA-7 droid.
Which I had, one of my first action figures. It's called the Death Star droid. And actually, since I watched it last night because I'm crazy, there was also one in Solo right at the beginning.
Din, as he passes by that, he gets to the dark troopers area, and the door starts. The doors open.
No!
I like how one does get out. I thought that was really well done.
It was brilliant because it showed us the power of how terrifying one of these is.
And how fast that door closes behind him. Yes. Okay, good.
Fight was great. Punching him in the helmet was
awesome. Oh, it was great. It was Batman versus Superman.
That helmet is basically pressurized. Otherwise, his head would have been bouncing around inside that thing. Yeah, great stuff.
So this is the moment where I was questioning. I'm like, how much of the droid is CGI versus how much of it is someone in a suit doing this fight? How much is the fight, you know?
Yeah, versus that suit was completely...
Din being completely CGI.
Yeah, I mean, that whole sequence, honestly, could have been a 100% computer-generated scene.
It could have. I have no idea, though, because it looks great.
It could have very easily... here's the thing. We know that scene where all of the Death Troopers or whatever, the Dark Troopers are in that room and they all get sucked out. We're like, well, we know that room and all those things is completely CG. We assume this scene isn't because we have our main character who we don't have a face for.
Exactly.
There's probably like a completely animated sequence here.
I mean, it could have been rotoscope for all that. You know, it could have just been actual people.
Well, you mean motion control. Motion capture.
Yeah, it could have been stunt people in that and they did it that way.
Oh, yeah.
We get Din using his whistlers. Which is going to come into play later.
He only has one.
And then he beats the one. It's awesome when he does the fire on it. That doesn't stop. He finally gets the staff in there. That stops it. And then he ejects them all into outer space. So Cara Dune gets her gun to work, and her gun was very reminiscent to me of Baz Mobius. You remember Baz Mobius, right, Jerry?
No idea who you're talking about.
You don't remember one of the main characters from Rogue One?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, you know what? You can dance me that name 2 weeks from now. Who are you talking about? You know, the guy who's I was one with the Force. Force with me. Oh, not this, not that. It's like, oh, it's the other guy.
I find
Baz
it funny
Malbus.
That
what?
As much as we love Rogue One, like, oh, you can't name the main actors.
There's Jyn Erso. There's K2SO4. There's Cassian Andor, and. That's it. There's the two incredibly cool.
Saul Guerrero.
And then there's Donnie Yen, who plays the blind
Erso.
Guy.
There's General Tarkin.
Krennic.
Krennic, yeah, Krennic.
And then who's Donnie Yen's character's name?
I don't remember his name.
These are the guys who work for the Wills.
Yep, there's Baz Malbus, and then there was the other one, the pilot.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
He was the bad guy in Venom.
I just watched this movie. Whoops. But his gun, her repeater gun. Yeah, he has a big backpack on his when he shoots his, but it's like a repeater gun. And so they storm and they take the bridge. And then we cut back to Din.
Where's Gideon?
And then so Gideon's not there. We cut back to Din's story. And Din's stabs a stormtrooper. And then he breaks a stormtrooper's neck.
Brutal.
I know, but they don't want to show cutting of people, but breaking their necks, okay.
Yes,
that's okay. They can lift him off the ground, strangle him, and crack his neck.
It's Disney Plus. The plus stands for more violence.
So he enters Grogu's cell, and there's Gideon. I like this moment here because again, they're showing both sides, like why the Imperials believe what they believe, and he's like, they probably stormed the bridge, those murderous savages. I like that. You know, it shows like
his point of view. Okay, let's talk about his point of view. I have a question for you here. He basically goes, just assume, he talks about, I know you shot all your little missiles. I know you got Bo-Katan on the bridge. I know you've done all this. Just assume I know everything. How does he know everything? Is he watching it on a monitor?
I would assume that. That's the only explanation I have.
Because because he's guessed right everything. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, this also came back to like, why did Mandalorian send that message that I was coming to get you? Because now, and he goes, why do you assume I know everything? Well, because you told me you were coming.
He talks about the Darksaber here. He mentions a big point in this episode for future seasons. He mentions he already has Grogu's blood.
It has the potential to bring order back to the galaxy.
Now, is he lying?
No.
Does he already have Grogu's blood? Why is Grogu still alive? Because they need to keep harvesting the blood from him? I don't know.
It's a dead-end storyline, so I would assume that they've taken what they needed from him for whatever future villain that'll show up 2 years from now in a crossover of 4 series.
And then he backstabs Din. They make a deal. Din just goes, and he hits him with the Darksaber. And luckily, his pure Beskar blocks the Darksaber.
You get a great
Gideon keeps going after Din when it's like, there are more people you could have went after instead. Later, especially later on, like when he has the gun. Like, why are you shooting at Din? Like, he goes to shoot Okay, anyways. So we get this nice little battle here, which I predicted last episode, where it's like, oh, You have a Darksaber, and then you have Beskar staff. Yeah, you're going to see that fight. And we get it, and it's cool. I like the moment here when the Beskar is heating up because of the Darksaber. I thought Darksaber, that was really cool.
What I read online about that was a lightsaber, a normal lightsaber, is more like a cone or a shaft. So when it's hitting things versus the Darksaber is thinner, coming to a blade point, which means when it's hitting the Beskar, that's why it's heating up, because it's actually slightly digging in or doing that. That's what I read online.
And so Din wins the battle and doesn't kill Gideon. Why?
Sparing my life? Why? This should be interesting, he says. Because he's not a murderer.
You mean like the guy, the neck that he just broke of the other guy instead of just knocking him out?
Well, the only other thing I could think of was he had heard, because he was in the ship with him, that Kara said that it's important that they bring him back alive. And he's doing that for Kara, so basically that's why he chose to do that for Kara Dune.
Yep, because on the bridge in the next scene, Dune mentions that bringing him alive will double the reward.
Mando has his blade active when he's walking there. Like, why do you have your blade? You have your flamethrower on the front. That should be enough. But it was done dramatically so that we could see it.
And we get the moment here. Again, we get this explanation, but we get to see Bo's reaction.
The sword must be won in battle for her to wield it again.
I also want to point out here that the comms officer that we've seen all season long is lying on the floor dead here. The first time I watched this, I was like, what happened to the comms officer? They just kind of forgot about that character.
I saw her get it, but we don't see any close-up when she gets it. She's killed in a wide shot. She's killed by Fennec.
With that wide shot, I wasn't even sure if it was her. I'm like, is that her or is that someone else? Because there's other people on the same costume. So we had this moment where I was like, why doesn't Din just put the saber in Gideon's hand and then Bo kills him? Why don't you just do that?
Well,
that
sounds like a solution. The wording there is it must be won in battle. And what does that mean? Because Gideon makes it sound like she has to, like, why don't you just kill him now and take the sword? It's like, so wait, won in battle means killed. Who's defining that? Who's seeing it? If she had brought him in, or if she had killed Gideon, then would she have taken it?
Honor is basically what it comes down to.
Which, again, comes down to what I said earlier about how she was making fun of the fact that Mandalorians from a sect that won't take their helmet off because they're religious zealots. And who here really knows, I guess other than Gideon, and since she knows she can't kill Gideon because Cara Dune's taking it, she knows that the word will get out that, oh, I'm alive, he didn't kill me. And so that's why I feel like this is a point for future season, which is fine. It could have been defined a little better. Now that we're overanalyzing it after watching it twice.
Oh, no, and I agree. Again, this was one of the issues with the episode, because I feel, like I said, it was a good episode. I just don't feel like it was as, this ending coming up makes up for all the problems.
Well, again, I don't think they're problems. I think they're setups for the next season that we're going to go like, okay, that's why. That's why. She's going to, I think there will be a statement Bo's like, I can't just take it from you. I can't kick you in the face just to take it from you.
What if it's like the Elder Wand? It only responds to the person.
People have made that comment. And most of those people are nerds.
Nerds. All right, we go back to the Dark Troopers. They're coming back. They're flying back to the ship. The
Did you think they were coming back?
Yeah, of course.
As soon as they got sucked out, I was watching it going like, wait a minute, we've seen these guys fly around because we saw them fly in two episodes previous. So yeah, I did too.
So they're all coming back onto the ship. We got this great moment. They're landing in unison. They're walking in unison.
Grogu seems really down here. He's like,
poor guy. And then they try to break down the door.
Door punches.
It was reminding me of when they close the blast shields and then the Jedi from Phantom Menace, they stick their lightsabers through the blast door and they're cutting it out. It reminded me of that, only with the
maybe they'll do a fast run too, like we're waiting for them to do again, the damn Jedi. So and as then, the tension happens and we hear the beep 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 and we see that an X-Wing's coming in. What are your thoughts as X-Wing? This is happening?
I don't know at this point. I'm assuming it was...
Were you not sitting on the edge of your seat like everybody in my family going like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
And I'm assuming it's because Grogu's, doing it. Like, I'm like, okay, who can come in and save them?
Now,
I'm thinking, who they're reaching out to, but again, I don't know, because we've seen a couple X-Wing pilots already this season, but they're like one X-Wing pilot, so obviously
as soon as we see the X-Wing, you're supposed to initially think, oh my God, could it be Luke Skywalker? Which then makes me go, okay, so it's not Luke Skywalker. So the entire time I'm like, it's not him. No, it is him. No, it's, oh my God, it really is him. Well, why would they do that? No, it's him. I kept going in my head. It's like, is this a bait and switch? Are they trying to sucker us? Mark Hamill has come out and said that he was never going to play Luke Skywalker again, because he's a liar.
I'm okay with that. Good. No, lie to us.
No, I'm
it makes
okay,
it better. Yeah. This makes this moment better. I like how this, the dark troopers all stop.
Yeah. This is the Why do they do this?
Because they realize the bigger threat is coming.
How do they realize that?
Because they're smart. Like, they're not dumb droids. They're like,
why would they not keep doing their mission unless there was some sort of over in command that some of the Darksaber ones are on the ground farther away and they're all communicating? And they're like,
of course,
beep, 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 beep. There's not a Jedi dumb.
Like, look at C-3PO. C-3PO would know what he would be like. We got a Jedi on board. We need to move. Like, the droids are, some droids in this universe are as smart as human beings. They are human beings, practically.
Yeah. Grogu also perks up at this time. He's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I kept thinking to myself, that door is not going to open up again really easy.
Yeah, and they do that later on.
It does
on.
Not open all the way.
No, it doesn't.
He's like, nah, you wrecked the door. We got some big furniture. We got to get to that door later.
So as this hooded Jedi
and is Gideon is very nervous during this whole scene. He's like, this is the first time he does not feel confident.
Yeah, but he has a gun, and he uses the gun. He shoots at Din a bunch, which was, again, terrible idea. Don't shoot
first,
at Din. Like, shoot at someone who's not wearing armor.
No, first he shoots Bo like 3 or 4 times.
Oh, does he? I thought he shot Din only.
No, he shot her 3 or 4 times. She falls down. I'm like, oh my God, did he just, you know, catch her in one of the 17 open exposed spots on her body? Because there are quite a few. He shoots her like 3 or 4 times. Boom, boom, boom. She falls. And then he goes to shoot, obviously, Grogu. And that's when the Mandalorian comes in and stops it. But I was like, what happened to Bo there? And I mean, there's no response at that point. She stands up again, like, I'm fine.
She's fine. Yes, Din takes the bullets. Then he goes to shoot himself. And that's when Kara steps in and stops him from doing that, which I thought was awesome. He doesn't have any of the mouth implants. If I was them, I would have been like looking in his mouth to make sure he doesn't have anything in there. Like, don't let him bite down.
So meanwhile, while this is happening, Luke is slaughtering through these guys the same way Darth Vader went in Rogue One.
Yes,
very
but we get the great shot where he comes around and you see the green lightsaber and the hand.
Yes.
The robotic hand with a glove on it. And that's the moment where we're all crying.
I never
grown
cry.
Men crying. Yes, yeah. Oh, you got a little misty eyes.
No, you're I like, didn't. Wee! I was
yes!
Those kind of things don't get me crying. It's not Captain America picking up a hammer. That's now you're talking about something.
Avengers assemble. He's crying now, just from that line.
Jedi revenge?
Luke's going down the hallway. He's doing the Rogue One sequence again.
He does the Mace Windu.
Oh, that's what I have here. He has the Mace Windu General Grievous crush from the non-canon Clone Wars, which is great. For those who are that into Star Wars, you know, there's a great scene where General Grievous always had a cough in the movies, and when they did a Clone Wars animated where Mace Windu just squeezes Grievous, and I was like, oh, that's why he coughs. That's amazing. They've tied it in, and they're like, oh, no, that's not canon. That's not. It's just a movie that was made that doesn't tie into Star Wars. And then we get an awesome moment here where Luke reveals his face, and then we get the music, the Star Wars music, and it was awesome. What are your thoughts?
Well, as this sequence was happening, we also were seeing Mandalorian look at Grogu and seeing his reaction to the Jedi. This was all his realizing.
He's touching the screen. He's doing all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So the sequence here where we get to see the reveal of the de-aged Mark Hamill.
Again, because we've seen a de-aged Mark Hamill before, right?
We saw it briefly in a sequence that was done perfectly in Rise of Skywalker. And the way they did that in Skywalker was took the actors and they actually took actual face sequences from Return of the Jedi and put them in there very slightly, doing modification, and not for a very long time, and that was fine. In this one, we have them also taking footage or modifying footage from that time period. They did not actually hire Sebastian Stan, who plays Bucky the Winter Soldier, who people say they should have done that. We also know that this was an actor playing this role that was then had Mark Hamill's voice used and his face put on this character. Here's the thing. First off, watching it a second time on a smaller screen, it looked better. Mm-hmm. I watched it on a very big screen when I saw it, and there is the uncanny valley with the eyes. You can't get away from that. It's there. And one of the reasons I think it was there was the face is too still. It's not moving even small. It's like it's locked in place, and it's not working as well. An example where it works perfectly was this weekend I watched again the Terminator Dark Fate, which Debbie hadn't seen it, so we watched that, and she really enjoyed it. And it's ironically the third best Terminator film. It's like they keep making Terminator films. They keep trying to get better to the first two, and they're getting closer, but they're not right there. But the opening of that Terminator has Linda Hamilton and Eddie Furlong at the front, both de-aged, and it's perfect. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Perfect. They have hair kind of going on the forehead movement. It's just perfect. It's not very long scenes, and it's also there's slow motion. Maybe slow motion makes it better. I really thought about this. Like, the slow motion kind of hides the natural aspect of it a little bit. And obviously, that's a movie that's got a huge budget, and they put a lot of money into doing that. And they've obviously done that with Arnold Schwarzenegger to more or less positive degrees in the Terminator Genesis, I think the other one was called.
Genesis, yeah.
And also, he's a robot, so you can do that. With this one, it just, the face is too still. There's just a little bit. I heard people say, no, it's the mouth. I'm like, nah, it's not the mouth. It's the eyes. For a television show, even at this high caliber, it's really, really well done. And for a TV series that has already gone back and fixed an episode where there was a guy standing in the corner with his watch, I can honestly see future versions
of
this.
Did they fix that?
Oh, yeah, they took it right out.
Oh.
It's gone. It's like the coffee cup in Game of Thrones. It's gone. So unless you downloaded it or copied it, it doesn't exist anymore. And so I can see possibly maybe if they think there's money worth doing it. Because we're going to see videos online any second now where people are going to do deep fake versions and they're going to look slightly better. And it's crazy how they've done. They did that with The Irishman online. Here's the thing.
You know. So I watched Rogue One again. And General Tarkin, although looks great and still like there's still something off about him. And I've seen people do deep fakes with General Tarkin. And guess what? Those are off, too. They still don't look right. They don't look perfect.
No, I watched the comparison, and I didn't think those other ones were any better.
No, I thought some were better one way and some were better the other way.
But I also think the Peter Cushing one is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
I'm not disagreeing. I'll take it.
There's no point in that where he looks uncanny valley, like this had a little floaty maybe a look to it, where I think it just maybe you look at it must be computer generated. Versus the Princess Leia, which definitely looked more like this.
Here's what it was to me, which, watching it a couple times, what stood out to me. It's the way the voice syncs up with the mouth movement. I don't know if it's the upper lip or what. Something didn't feel right with the way he was talking. And when that gets out of sync, when audio and visuals get out of sync or are not together, you're taken immediately out, and I think that's what did it for me.
They used Henry Cavill's lip movement from Justice League to remove the mustache.
Even though I don't remember having a problem with that, but I've never actually deep analyzed Justice League that way. That was the one thing, because I was like, what is it about this? Because it looks great, and it feels good, and my brain's going, this shouldn't be happening, but it is. And
I think it's the voice
teaming up with the mouth.
Also, we just see him fly through this whole sequence, and then he's in this scene, he's like,
He never turns his head to the side. Always straight.
He looked over to Grogu the side, and we are nitpicking it because of technology. I mean, trust me, this effect done even 10 years ago, we'd be like, this is the most incredible. It's like going back and watching movies from 10 years ago. Like, yeah, I guess this isn't as quite as good as I want. Like, never go back and watch the 1999 or whatever movie Lost in Space. It's like, yikes.
I mean, we can go in the Star Wars universe when they re-released episode 4, and you have the wonderful scene with Han Solo walking behind Jabba.
Solo,
raise him up and raise him down like he stepped, but it's clearly like
even in the Blu-ray version, it's still like, no, you didn't get this right.
Yeah, no, it just looks bad. But this looks great. But now talking about the actual story though, Luke is the perfect person to hand off Grogu to. If Grogu's not going to be if he's going to be out of the show and like that's what it is, we talked about this all season long. Like, how do you continue the show on without both of them? This is the way you do it. No one's complaining going, oh, no more Grogu on this show.
There are people complaining.
But he's with Luke Skywalker. Well, out of everybody you're going to hand him off to, that's the one. Like, that is the one where you're like, okay, Grogu's in his place. Any other Jedi, if you'd have handed him off to Ahsoka, if you'd have handed him off to Ezra, if Ezra comes into the show...
Because we know that Luke's not going to have any problems in the future with Jedi.
Of course not.
Grogu will be fine. That's not for 30 years or 25 years from now, from this time period. It's like 25 because at this point, he's not even using Ben Solo. Ben Solo is not even one of his students yet. No. So, you know, he says Luke will give his life to protect this child, but he needs to be trained, otherwise he's too dangerous or whatever. And the Mandalorian says that he will see him again. He promises, which I believe that he will. And then he reveals his face to Grogu, which is incredible. I've heard people online say that it was undercut from two episodes previously, and I disagree. I think that that had a great moment two episodes ago, or I'm sorry, one episode ago, and having it happen here was nice because it was no longer about, oh my God, he's finally showing his face and everybody sees it. It was more like he's actually doing it because he's learned and it was important. Mm-hmm. And I was great with it.
A couple thoughts. One, he takes his helmet off and wants to look at him with his own face, very similar to Darth Vader taking his helmet off with Luke Skywalker,
Return of the Jedi.
I think this is also an interesting thing. Does this mean he no longer
He's wearing that helmet just like Boba Fett does.
I think he'll wear the helmet, but I think he's going to be taking it off more.
Just like Fennec Shen had her helmet on this entire episode.
Yeah, right. I think we'll see. I definitely think we'll be seeing more of his face next season.
He tells Grogu, "Don't be afraid," which was acknowledging what Ahsoka was talking about, how he has his fear, and as we all know, fear leads to good things.
And then we get our second cameo. We can't forget about the second cameo. In comes R2. R2, the character you've known the longest. You've actually seen R2 longer than you've seen Luke Skywalker, by minutes, but you do see R2-D2 longer. R2-D2's been in everything except for Solo. I just want to also point that out. He's been everywhere.
No, I saw Luke before I saw R2 because I saw the original cut of Star Wars that had where he's working the moisture evaporators and he looks up and he sees the space battle. That was in the first version back in 77 when I saw it.
Get out of here.
What are you talking about?
That's not the they didn't. That's
the version I saw in the theater had Fixer and Cammy and all that stuff. Yeah,
and it had
did it really?
Biggs Dark.
Oh yeah, Biggs Dark. Oh, yes, it was fantastic. Before James Earl Jones' voice was added too, it's really weird.
So that's how
R2-D2 he sees him there and R2's like beeping and having a good time and Grogu's ecstatic. Is that for the reason that R2 is excited is because R2 goes, hey, I recognize these green species. It's a Yoda. Or is he also going, hey, it's me. Remember when back in the day I was part of Order 66. I saved you back then.
That's a good point.
That's what people
I was more thinking about, oh, he went from three legs to two. Look at that. That's always exciting.
But it has a beautiful, beautiful, sweet ending to the episode.
Yes. They go, they stand in the elevator, and the elevator closes. That's the end of the main episode here.
Directed by Peyton Reed. And we also get in the credits, and it says, and Mark Hamill. So we're watching the credits at home, and
No concept art.
No concept art.
It's the first episode that ever did.
It's like
that.
Right as it gets towards the end, Jason turns it off, because I go, what are you doing? He's like, it's over. And I go, who are you? It's like, you're not my kid. It's like, you go to the end. It's like, I don't want, because we were going to watch, because we usually always watch like a Screen Crush video or something that goes through like all 85 Easter eggs and stuff to see the stuff we missed. Thank God I said, no, go back. Okay, I don't go back. Because they just want to play video games or something. Oh, we spent an hour with you. You should be happy. So then he goes and he puts it back. As he puts it back, he sees there's like 7 minutes left where we left off. And his brother's like, hey, there's like 7 minutes left. Boy, he shut down. He's like, nope, he didn't say anything. Mr. Smartmouth, 18-year-old kid, was quiet there, especially when that scene happened. All of a sudden, we see Jabba's palace. I'm like, yep, I'm going to be using this for quite a while.
Speaking of which, we get our third cameo from the original
on the planet
series.
Tatooine.
We get the return of Bib Fortuna, and again for Jerry, he has his staff, which came with the toy, which was never actually in Return of the Jedi.
Unknown to Joel, when he was a little guy and he was sitting in a high chair. Yeah. No, he was in his high chair. He said, "Hey," we'd always say, "Get your Bib Fortuna on." No joke. He had no idea what he's talking about.
And now I eat too much and I've gained way too much weight. So now my Bib 40 tuna. Yeah, so he's put on the weight.
No, you would always eat seafood. And we go, what do you mean? You need a Bib for tuna.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. Terrible.
So he's put on the weight, which I think is supposed to resemble his gluttony.
You know who hasn't put on weight? The Gamorrean guards.
Oh, I wrote that down here. Remember I talked about that?
I know they did.
Like they're still svelte. What is going
on here?
They're
so thin because Bib's getting all the
food. He's getting all the food.
He's got the slave girl. Even in the background, we see the dancer from the Return of the Jedi special edition, one of the extra singers. She's in the background.
Remember
there.
That song?
I don't know.
Whatever. Oh, God, that's so bad.
Hey, man, I grew up when they had the original song, and then they did an English version that they put out as a video and stuff. And you heard it on the radio. It was.
You know, speaking of stuff that came out, apparently this is Luke Skywalker doing the old Luke, the young Luke Skywalker for the first time since the Stars of Star Wars TV show. This is the first time he's played Luke Skywalker on television show since Stars of Star Wars.
Okay.
I read that somewhere. It's a weird fact. I've never even seen Stars of Star Wars.
It's a weird fact. It's like, hey, I read a fact today. Why is Fat Chance and Slim Chance both mean the same thing? No idea.
But they don't mean the opposite way either.
No, right? But they mean the same thing. Hey, there's a fat chance you're going to get that right. There is a slim chance you're going to get that right.
But they don't work the other way.
I know.
Like, there's a great chance. Like, there's a fat chance.
I know. It's messed up. If you take one thing away from this podcast, listeners, it's that.
So Fennec comes in, kills everyone except for the slave. And then Boba comes in behind, kills Bib.
Boba Bib,
and then he takes him off the throne. He sits on the throne.
Like Fennec. Conan, like King Conan. She's slipping. She's drinking some of the blue, what's it called?
Liquid?
No, it's called Skavlak Blah. Whatever, yeah.
God bless you.
And we see that there will be the Book of Boba Fett in December of 2021, which they have now finally confirmed after a weekend's worth of people going, does that mean it's replacing this? Is that going to be playing? Because we already know Mandalorian's coming back in December. It has been confirmed that the Book of Boba Fett will be a four-part miniseries that will probably play for the first few weeks of December and then will lead right into Mandalorian Season 3. So,
and it has the executive producer, outside of Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau, of Robert Rodriguez. Who directed the episode this season. He wasn't supposed to direct either.
He just stepped up and did it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the Book of Boba Fett is almost done.
Who was supposed to direct?
Well, they didn't say. They said he kind of stepped into it.
Wow, imagine being that person who was like, maybe not someone who's big and was like, I can't do this, I'm busy.
Sorry, all right, Quentin Tarantino.
We're going to get Robert Rodriguez instead.
So they're actually almost done shooting the Book of Boba Fett as we speak.
Which is great. Great stuff. I mean, it's going to be fun to...
I'm interested also in that Mandalorian behind-the-scenes series comes out this week, because obviously everybody talks about how the fact that they filmed everything in this show is filmed inside using the volume. And I'm like, that episode when they were fighting with Boba Fett on that hill, that was not inside. I want them to show that footage so people go, oh, I guess not everything was filmed in there. That's what they all sound like, yes. So that brings us to the end of this episode.
I still stand by this. If you want to, the way to tell if it's being filmed on the volume is how long they can walk.
Well, again, they've made bigger studios. They've made a bigger volume. But, I mean, now.
They can clearly walk farther. Some of those scenes where it's like people are running 20 yards. Like, they didn't make a set that is 20 yards. Maybe they did. I'd be shocked if they did. That'd be huge. Yeah, but that's one of the ways to tell is just how far they walked.
So you stand by that this was just an okay episode and teach?
No. I said this is a good episode in this season. I think there were better episodes this season. I think this was, but the ending makes up for everything, because the ending was just the music and Luke coming in.
I think it's solid all the way through.
You had Luke Skywalker in this show.
Yeah, Boba Fett at the beginning was incredible. Everything about this was great. There are little parts we talked about that I think that they will address as they continually do on the show. They keep addressing it. I know we will finally see what those vats of Snoke things were. We'll get there. We're going to get into it. Just they're playing the long game.
Again, how we pointed about this out earlier, but like, I love how they have Boba Fett's not there. Like, they go on the bridge. Imagine if Luke walked in and Boba Fett was there. It was like, Boba Fett, you froze my friend in carbonite. Like, he just...
You threw me in the pit, or even.
They just battled not that long ago.
Oh, 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah, so there would have been questions. Wow, you survived the Sarlacc pit. Like, what's that all about?
So, Cousin Ryan, which is the name that everybody should always call him when you see him. If you see him, go, hey, Cousin Ryan. Kind of rises and says, great episode. I knew once I saw the green saber who it was. I want to know what happened to Grogu. Ryan, we'll all want to know that too. So thank you for your input.
Ryan, we actually know, but we're not going to tell you. No, we don't.
No.
What if we did? Like, that would be...
Well, all right. Thank you for listening and being on this journey with us. Again, we will be getting together again to talk about WandaVision, which is starting in just a few weeks in January. And probably in between that, Joel and I will do a podcast for the New Mutants TV, the movie that we saw, just to have something to talk about and to be completist I will never finish Hellstrom, which actually has now been canceled as a series.
Before we touch on that, don't forget we're also probably going to talk about Wonder Woman 84.
Yes, we will.
Which comes out in a couple days.
Joel finished Hellstrom. I had like four episodes to go. I may go back to watch the final episode and just to see how it ends.
It's the same. Don't expect anything new.
The three episodes leading up to where I stopped was like, okay, all right. Mm-hmm. All right, it's fine. I'm done with it. So, sorry, wasn't great.
It wasn't. It was very forgettable. Again, it was Sleepy Hollow, but not as charming.
But we'll talk about New Mutants. That'll be the next podcast you hear, and then Wonder Woman, and then WandaVision, and then Andor. Casey Andor, we got Falcon and Winter Soldier in March.
I wonder if Andor's
going to land. Justice League in March.
I wonder if Andor is going to ever visit Endor.
All right. Thanks for ending this podcast with that one.
Andor on Endor. That's fantastic.
It is awesome. You guys enjoyed this. Awesome. Let us know. Joel, where can they let us know?
Facebook.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast, at Bennett Bros Pod, or BennettBrothersPodcast@gmail.com.
And as always, if you want to go to patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast, throw a dollar at us. It helps keep us wanting to do this, helps us out in a very small but helpful way.
Yeah.
Those of you who already do, thank you so much as always. We will continue to put out the mini casts when we get the opportunity. We have another one where we're going to go through, I quiz Joel through all of the films of the great actor David Warner, and I go through them all. So that's a fun, obscure, goofy podcast that Joel realizes. Joel's immortal words were, "Who the hell is David Warner?" Yeah, to listen to that. It's good stuff. And we'll have more of those coming as the year progresses. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you for joining The Mandalorian. Please join us on some of these other fun things. And we will talk to you soon. Did I take your last line again?
We've been doing this for how many years now?
I don't know. Once I say goodbye, I don't listen to how you end.
I'm Jerry.
Also, you don't realize that I cut it off. I'm Jerry because Joel never listens to these podcasts, and he doesn't know that he's not in the end of them anytime.
We'll talk to you next time. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Joel. Oh, you took my line. Good night, everybody.
Bye.